I'm Mark Mallett. Welcome to the Now Word for February 16th, 2016. We are 1 week now into our Lenten retreat, and this begins day number 7. And today I want to speak about self-knowledge. And if you'd like to read this, and with all the footnotes and references, just go to markmallett.com. Well, my brother and I used to share the same room growing up, and there were some nights where we would just start giggling and we couldn't stop. And inevitably, we'd hear footsteps coming down the hallway, and it would be Dad, so we'd pull up the covers and pretend that we were asleep, and then the door would open. Well, two things happened when that door opened. The first is that the hallway light would burst into the room, and oddly enough, there would be a sense of comfort as the light dispersed the darkness, which I was afraid of as I was a kid, and I think a lot of kids probably are. But then the second effect of the light was that it would expose the undeniable fact that two little boys were pretty much wide awake and not asleep as they should have been. Well, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And when a soul encounters this light, two things happen. First, the soul is moved in some way by his presence. There's a deep comfort and solace in the revelation of his love and mercy. At the same time, however, and I know this profoundly, there is a sense of one's own nothingness, of one's own sinfulness, weakness, and unholiness. See, the former effect of Christ's light draws us toward him, but the latter often causes us to recoil. And here is where the most difficult spiritual battle is fought in the beginning of growing in one's interior life. And it's there in the arena of self-knowledge. You know, we see this painful illumination in the life of Simon Peter. In the Gospels, we read in the Gospel of Luke that having worked hard all night, his fishing nets remained empty. And so Jesus calls out to him and says, "Peter, put out into the deep." And there, casting his net in obedience and faith, Peter's net is filled to the point of breaking. And Luke 5 says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, 'Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" Peter's joy and exhilaration and the blessing of both the Lord's presence and his consolations eventually gave way to the stark contrast between his little heart and the heart of his master. The brilliance of truth was almost too much for Peter to take. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. My dear brothers and sisters, this Lenten retreat is calling you to put out into the deep. And as you answer the call, you're going to experience both the light of consolation as well as the light of truth. For if the truth sets us free, the very first truth is that of who I am and who I'm not. But Jesus says to you today, and I'm sure in a loud voice, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because he already knows you inside and out. He knows your weaknesses, your faults, and even those hidden sins that you're not even aware of right now. And still, he loves you. Still, he calls you. Remember, Jesus blessed Peter's nets and filled them, and this was before he left everything and followed him. So how much more will Jesus bless you since you've already said yes to him? You know, Simon Peter, I think, and many of us fall into this trap. He could have fallen into self-pity and depression. He could have lingered in his wretchedness, saying, "I'm hopeless, useless, and unworthy," and simply went off on his own way. But instead, Peter courageously chooses to follow Jesus despite everything. And when he falls most grievously, denying the Lord 3 times during the Lord's passion, Peter didn't go off and hang himself as Judas did. Rather, he perseveres in the abyss of darkness, the darkness of his wretchedness. He waits there, despite the horror he sees in himself. He waits there for the Lord to save him. And so what does Jesus do after his resurrection? He fills Peter's nets again in the same way. And Peter, feeling perhaps worse than he did the first time because the depths of his misery was now apparent to all, Peter jumps into the sea and he races towards the Lord there on the beach, where he then affirms three times his love for his Savior. Facing the self-knowledge of his utter poverty, Peter always turns back to Jesus, trusting in his mercy. He was commanded by Jesus to feed my sheep, but was himself a most helpless lamb. But you know, precisely in this self-knowledge, Peter humbled himself, therefore allowing room for Jesus to be formed within him, allowing room for Jesus to work through him. Let me repeat that. It was precisely in this self-knowledge Peter humbled himself, therefore allowing room for Jesus to be formed within him. Sława Mirjela, a beautiful Polish author, he wrote saying, "The most blessed Virgin lived the attitude of the helpless sheep in a most perfect manner. It was she who knew best that without God, nothing is possible. She was in her own, yes, like an abyss of helplessness and poverty, and at the same time, an abyss of trust in God." Well, you and I heard on Ash Wednesday the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Yes, apart from Christ, you and I are mere dust. But Jesus came and he died for us little dust particles, and so now we are a new creation in him. The more you draw near to Jesus, the light of the world, the more the flames of his sacred heart will illuminate your wretchedness. But don't be afraid of the abyss of poverty you see and will see in your soul. Thank God that you see the truth of who you really are and how much you need him. Then jump into the sea, into the abyss of mercy. Let the truth set you free. In summary then, self-knowledge is the beginning of growth in the interior life because the foundation is being built on truth. And Jesus said to St. Paul, as he says to you and me right now, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." God bless you.